Leo XIV forces out 21 bishops in 15 months as pontiff. Summary. This week's piece argues that the early resignation of Catholic bishops remains one of the few observable markers of deeper institutional problems within the Church. Because the Vatican and local dioceses routinely provide little or no explanation when bishops leave office before the canonical retirement age of 75, these departures function as a form of institutional smoke. They do not automatically prove wrongdoing, but they often signal that serious concerns have emerged behind closed doors. The article continues an effort to track such resignations to better understand the clergy sexual abuse crisis and related failures of governance throughout the Catholic world. The piece begins by placing the issue in historical context. Before the reforms initiated after the Second Vatican Council, bishops generally served for life. The introduction of mandatory retirement at 75 created a benchmark against which unusual departures can be identified. Over time, resignations accepted before that age evolved from a mechanism largely associated with health problems into a tool for managing dioceses experiencing crises, scandals, leadership failures, or other serious difficulties. The article argues that tracking these departures provides a rare glimpse into problems that the Catholic hierarchy is often reluctant to acknowledge publicly. The story reviews years of previous research that identified more than 100 cases of early resignations, removals, or similar measures. In many of those cases, the resignation was preceded by an apostolic visitation, the appointment of a coadjutor bishop, or the installation of an apostolic administrator. Such measures frequently appeared in dioceses later revealed to be facing abuse scandals, financial misconduct, governance failures, or other forms of institutional breakdown. These patterns form the basis of the article's argument that early resignations serve as warning signs rather than isolated administrative events. The article then turns to the transition from Pope Francis to Pope Leo XIV. According to the research, Francis forced out or accepted the early resignations of 87 bishops during his pontificate. Pope Prevost, however, has overseen 21 such departures in only 15 months, nearly a quarter of Pope Bergoglio's total in little more than a year. Rather than focusing solely on absolute totals, the article compares the annual rate of early resignations across different pontificates and concludes that Leo is intervening more frequently than Francis and dramatically more often than John Paul II. This is presented as evidence that the underlying problems identified during Francis's pontificate remain unresolved. One of the most important themes in the article is opacity. It argues that the Catholic Church consistently prefers silence, vague formulas, and limited disclosure when removing bishops from office. In most cases, there is no meaningful public explanation, even when later reporting reveals the presence of abuse allegations, financial crimes, misconduct, or leadership failures. Examples from France, Peru, the United States, and elsewhere are used to illustrate how identical situations often receive radically different levels of transparency depending on local circumstances. The result is a system in which journalists, survivors, civil authorities, and independent researchers are left to reconstruct events after the fact. The article also identifies a significant development under Leo XIV, the growing number of bishop-elects who resign before their consecration. Cases in Poland, South Korea, and the Philippines are cited as evidence that problems are increasingly being detected during the final stages of the selection process rather than after years in office. While this may prevent larger scandals, it also reveals weaknesses in the Church's methods for vetting future bishops. Beyond abuse itself, the article discusses misconduct involving finances, sexual relationships, administrative failures, and ideological conflicts. It stresses that the abuse crisis cannot be understood in isolation from broader questions of clerical culture, accountability, and governance. The same institutional habits that enable abuse, the author argues, also contribute to secrecy, financial impropriety, weak oversight, and the protection of senior clergy. In its concluding sections, the article examines the global state of Catholic reform. While France, Germany, and Spain have taken more substantial steps toward investigation and transparency, Latin America resists meaningful accountability. Genuine reform would require changes in seminary formation, episcopal selection, enforcement mechanisms, and attitudes toward transparency. Without such reforms, early resignations will continue to serve as visible symptoms of persistent institutional dysfunction. The article ultimately ends on a human note. Behind every resignation, scandal, or institutional failure are ordinary Catholics whose trust has been eroded. The final example of a mother worrying about her daughter's safety while preparing for First Communion serves as a reminder that the crisis is not only about bishops and church administration. It is about the long-term damage inflicted on the credibility of Catholic institutions and on the confidence of the faithful themselves.